Hello, I'm Dr. Eric Moore, the Deputy to the Commanding General for the U.S. Army Combat Capabilities Development Command, which is also known as DEFCOM. I'm proud to introduce the launching of our official podcast, The Cutting Edge. In it, we'll explore unique capabilities across DEFCOM and talk to our world-class scientists, engineers, technicians, and support staff about ongoing projects and leadership development. The Cutting Edge podcast will help me share the story of DEFCOM, how it serves as the Army's premier in-house science and technology organization, and how it's a driving force of innovation within the STEM fields. DEFCOM does this by developing and leveraging cutting-edge technologies to enable our soldiers to see, sense, decide, and act faster than their adversaries. I'm honored to introduce the very first guest for the very first episode, Dr. Elizabeth Groover, the DEFCOM Chief Talent Management Officer. Dr. Groover, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Dr. Moore.
Good morning. Dr. Groover, thank you so much for being our first guest for this brand new podcast. I really appreciate your insight on our talent management strategy and what makes working at DEFCOM so great. You know, as you lead the talent management, you actually wrote the talent management strategy.
Yes, I helped write the talent management strategy. Yes.
That's awesome. And so what are some of the different things DEFCOM is doing to recruit the best talent? And why is that important, not just to DEFCOM, but to the teams within the DEFCOM team writ large?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think recently you've heard the phrase, you know, we're a formation of uniques, which I think is a phenomenal phrase as well. And
it's a General Brownism.
Is it a General Brownism? Yeah, I'm not sure where it came from, but I appreciated that. And I think, for me, it does epitomize what we're doing differently to help recruit, attract, retain talent across DEFCOM. You know, when we wrote the talent management strategy, it was built on the five different pillars of define, assess, acquire, develop, and manage and engage. And there are so many things that we're doing that I'm not going to touch all of them, and that all of our centers and labs are doing. But I think the uniqueness of it is that we truly are, you know, operationalizing the talent management strategy to put people first and understand that, you know, this is a holistic approach to ensuring that we have the talent that we need now and the talent we need in the future. You know, one of them is our recent STRL implementation. I mean, that really helps, you know, us to attract that talent and recognize that talent throughout their time here and their unique contributions. We've also have our future of work, our flexibilities, I would say, that are super beneficial, I think, and not only helping us attract talent that we never really would have got in the past, right? There's quite a few competency spaces within DEFCOM where we can have remote employees, right? And there's also the opportunities now for greater collaboration across competencies. So I think that is a phenomenal thing that we're doing as well. So those are just a couple things I would say within development too. Our workforce development plans, I would be remiss if I did not add about development in here, but our workforce development plans that are based on every competency. So, you know, DEFCOM's definition of competency, enduring recognized areas of expertise. And then within each of those competencies, those core competencies, unique specialized area of expertise, and each one of those competencies and core competencies has a workforce development plan. And I think that is actually fairly rare, in my opinion. I haven't seen that anywhere else where we're saying, hey, in this competency space or in this core competency space, here is an outlined development plan for you to help you grow and develop across competencies, across your core competencies, and then really being intentional about creating opportunities for folks to grow and develop.
That's awesome. You know, General Cushing, in a number of town halls, has talked about talent management and prioritizing people and how important people are as our number one priority in this command. And he's been very consistent about that message. And I know he really, really believes in us developing our people. And as a result of that, you kind of talked a bit about, you know, some of these plans that people can use to kind of grow their career, to understand it. He and I had a conversation when I first started in the Army. We had something called the Army Officer's Handbook. Mm-hmm. And you kind of knew when you looked at that handbook kind of how your career was supposed to progress, when you're supposed to do the basic course, how to put your uniform on, which ribbon took precedence over the other, et cetera. Is this going to help a newly minted fresh government employee in the STEM field? Is it going to help them kind of in that space to kind of chart their career, understand where they're going, and understand what those possibilities might be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just highlighting the workforce development plan, you know, based on the core competencies. So I'll use, you know, human resources just as a basis. So human resources as a competency. And then within that competency, there's core competencies of military personnel, right? And we'll use that as an example. But there's also data and analytics, workforce development, civilian personnel, et cetera. Each one of those, you know, core competencies and the entire competency has defined recommended training and development where not only does it outline, here's your recommended training and development. So CES, of course, is always, you know, a recommended foundational course.
And CES stands for?
Civilian Education System. And so that really is a foundation for civilians to have, you know, the same language, right? Understand and use the same language when we're talking about civilian development, civilian progression, et cetera. Understanding the Army. You know, we do have a lot of folks within DEVCOM and across the Army who were previously military, but, you know, some may not be. So I think it's a great foundation to understanding the importance, you know, the history and the value of our Army. So that's what that is. So yes, to answer the question too, the workforce development plans will absolutely outline what's the recommended, not just training and development, but rotational assignments that someone should move to. Recommended, you know, maybe job announcements that you can move to or get a detail for to help you grow and develop in that space. So yes.
I love it. You know, you and I have the fortune to meet monthly and several times a month sometimes mm-hmm. to talk about these issues. And I really applaud you and the team for the work that you've done in this space. What do you think folks want for their careers? Leadership development, access to cutting edge technology, access to world-class labs, et cetera. And how is DEVCOM helping them achieve those goals?
Oh, that's such a great question, Dr. Moore.
it's a lot.
You know, it is a lot. That was a lot in that little question right there. And I will try and answer it to the best of my ability. But, you know, I do want to say that, you know, there's a lot of research right now that talks about what people are looking for when they're looking for jobs, right? And one of them is workplace flexibilities, right, to ensure that work-life balance, right, whether you like that term or not, right, it is a common term, but to highlight the flexibilities and the importance of a holistic approach to me being a human at work. Mental health resources, I mean, completely on the rise right now, and there's a lot of data to back up the importance of really focusing on employees' mental health and well-being and organizations' responsibilities in doing so. And then opportunities for growth and development. So those are kind of the top three things that folks are looking for when they're looking for a job, according to industry research at this time. And, you know, I think for DEVCOM, we talked about the flexibilities. We've talked about, you know, the workforce development plan. So the growth and development, the leadership development. DEVCOM has, you know, the Distinguished Leaders Program. A lot of the centers and labs do a lot of phenomenal work in developing their folks. And when people are looking, you know, to either work at DEVCOM or other industries, what are they looking for? I think it's hard to answer for, I obviously can't answer for everyone in DEVCOM, but world-class facilities, absolutely. Abilities to collaborate, abilities to grow and develop, to know that you're making an impact, and to be able to care for your families. And I think, you know, something we previously mentioned about what is, you know, DEVCOM doing a little bit differently to help attract and retain talent, you know, the STRL flexibilities, the work-life flexibilities, the workforce development plans. I think all of those things contribute to what are we doing and how are we attracting folks and what are they looking for? So hopefully that answered that question.
No, it does. And I realize that most people on this receiving this podcast probably understand what STRL flexibilities are. But could you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, so, truth in lending, I am not the subject matter expert in STRL, but Science and Technology Reinvention Laboratory. So it gives organizations like DEVCOM, science and technology organizations, a little bit more flexibilities in how they pay their folks, how they hire their folks, how they recognize them, and then, again, support to invest in reinventing laboratories. So how do we invest in providing state-of-the-art facilities for folks? especially, you know, I'll bring it back to the top management strategy structure of competencies and core competencies. You know, our core competencies offer an agility for us to say, okay, how am I defining what I need in the future? You know, am I going to, you know, move from just a theory of quantum to operationalizing quantum? I don't know. I'm not a quantum person either, but I loved Quantum Leap. So that's usually the foundational research competency I talk about. But, you know, how do I then invest funds now and resources now to create the laboratories I'm going to need in the future? So I really think that's an important part of understanding that.
Right. But no matter what kind of technology you have, mm-hmm. it's like having the most advanced automobile or motorcycle or whatever is your thing. Mm-hmm. If you don't have anyone to drive it, it goes nowhere.
Absolutely.
So people are still the most essential component to any of this.
100%.
And so when we talk about STRL authorities that were granted from Congress to the Department of Defense mm-hmm. to ensure that we would have the workforce of the future and to ensure that we would remain competitive and remain innovative mm-hmm. as well. So innovation is a huge goal of this program. Mm-hmm. But along those lines, what are some of the different things DEFCOM does to retain and promote top talent?
So what are some of the things that DEFCOM does to retain and attract top talent?
Right.
You know, I think, one, our support to our warfighters, right? I mean, again, I think I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the importance of what DEFCOM does. And if you don't mind, I'll tell just a teeny little story. So, you know, my husband was explosive ordnance disposal officer for 20 years in the Army. And truth in lending, did not know that DEFCOM, Combat Capabilities Development Command at the time, CCDC, existed when we moved here from Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Were we RDECOM?
You know what? May have been RDECOM at the time, yeah. So I didn't know it was here. And my first job was actually with Chem Bio Center. Dr. Moore, you were there, so that's where I had the privilege of meeting you one of the first times. But, you know, they worked on the CREST kit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the CREST kit saved lives, mm-hmm. right? And I just thought, I honestly couldn't kind of stop crying. Like, I can't believe, you know, that I didn't know kind of all of these years how many civilians here were supporting protecting our warfighters. You know, and we lost people, a lot of people. And to know that there's a just world-class talent, people who really care about our country and our warfighters working here at DEFCOM, I think is not only truly unique, but extremely important. And one of the ways that I believe that we attract talent, really just supporting our country and our warfighters. And then another way, I mean, I'll talk about, again, the flexibility, some of the recruitment events. I mean, you know, DEFCOM has really highlighted the importance of, you know, attending HBCU MIs and ensuring that we're recruiting differently and attracting folks differently by showcasing not only, hey, here's all of the opportunities you'd have across DEFCOM. You know, one thing I truly appreciate too about, you know, kind of the branding that's been done around DEFCOM is it's DEFCOM headquarters, DEFCOM Armament Center, DEFCOM Chem Bio Center, right? We're one, right? So even though we are a formation of uniques, we're all in this together to support the warfighters. So by providing the competency chart to folks, we can say, hey, look at all these opportunities you have, not just across the United States, but across the world to work and to grow and to develop. And here's some of the workplace flexibilities that we have. Here's our pay banding that we have. You know, so those are just kind of some of the things I think that we're doing to try and attract folks. And then again, I think your podcast here is another one of those, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, here's a little bit about DEFCOM, right? That you folks might not know. And that brings me back to that story I kind of told in the beginning. I didn't know, right? And kind of wish I probably would have sent y'all some chocolate chip cookies or something too for taking care of our soldiers.
It's never too late to feed the people, feed the troops. It's never too late. No, I appreciate everything you're saying. And we do spend a lot of time, you know, to have diversity of thought, mm-hmm. we also have to have a broad reach.
Yes.
So we participate in those Army Total Outreach events. There have been mm-hmm. several. I tend to go, RG1. A lot of folks from the centers go, and we do a lot of recruiting to make sure that we have the talent and to make sure that we tell the DEFCOM story and let people know the wonderful opportunities that there are to work inside this command.
Yeah.
But along those lines, when you think about training, so that takes us to training, because mm-hmm. you mentioned that. Before I go there, I want to highlight one point you said. You talked about why people want to be a part of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts in terms of why people want to leave an organization?
Oh, I mean, that's such a great question too, right? I think it actually goes back to the flip side of what are people looking for when they're looking to work for an organization, right? Are we providing them growth and development opportunities? Are we creating a climate and a culture where people feel like they are cared about, truly cared about? Francis Fry and Anne Morris wrote this great book that, of course, I'm going to forget the name of right now. However, it is by Francis Fry and Anne Morris, and they talked about the three pillars of trust, authenticity, empathy, and logic. And logic is all about, you know, I believe you know what you know, right? So you're an expert in quantum, you're an expert, you know, in your field. And authenticity, I believe that I'm seeing the real you, not diving deep into everything about you, but I believe this is you. This is actually who you really are. And then empathy, I believe that you care about me. And I think that goes for when people are leaving an organization. I think there really is this kind of foundation of trust where, you know, I believe that you care about me. I believe that I'm really seeing the real you as an organization, meaning are you saying when you say people first that you're actually implementing, right, initiatives that support people first? You kind of know what you're talking about. And I don't doubt at all that people trust the logic of DEVCOM. I mean, we really do have a lot of the best and the brightest. Not all yet, but some phenomenal folks who work within DEVCOM. And then also, again, so are you supporting my growth and development? Are you supporting a climate where I feel like you truly do care about me as a person? You know, what are my well-being or wellness initiatives? And do you hear me? People really want to be seen and heard. And are we offering that to folks? And I think DEVCOM is, at least since I've been here, continually shows that we see you, we hear you, and we're trying to put into practice what we heard you say. So again, I think part of the reason people leave organizations is that lack of opportunities for growth and development, the not being seen. Sometimes it has to do with money, right? I mean, we all have families to take care of, whether it be fur families or, you know, extended families or immediate families. But again, I think that's why this STRL implementation was a really big deal too.
I think those are some of the reasons, sir. 100%. They also say that one of the main reasons is for all the things you just stated,
mm-hmm.
but if you got a bad boss.
Oh, 100%. I probably should have led in with that, Dr. Moore. I should have. But your manager actually, recent studies have actually shown that your manager has more of an impact on your mental health than your like counselor or psychiatrist.
Mm.
I mean, you see your boss every day.
That's true.
I mean, if you don't see them, you talk to them or they're a part of your world every day at minimum 40 hours a week, right? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about work when work is over, you know?
Yeah,
so it's just a part of our lives, right? So I think being a really good leader is extremely, extremely important. And I think we have a responsibility to continually develop leaders and hold leaders accountable.
It's true. And a lot of that comes down to training, which I want to kind mm-hmm. of segue into training opportunities. But you know, as new leaders, newly minted leaders, mm-hmm. team leaders, branch chiefs, division chiefs, et cetera, whatever they are, having the opportunity to grow. You talked about CES training, mm-hmm. et cetera. There's a lot of stuff we've got to do.
Yeah.
And if we get that training, I think it helps us.
Mm-hmm.
I see sometimes when it goes amiss and it gets kind mm-hmm. of, you know, 180 degrees in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
But this is good. So what kind of training opportunities does DEVCOM have available for its workforce?
Yeah, so I'll focus on right now the leadership training, right, and instead of the technical training, and then we'll kind of move into that a little bit. But you know, leadership training, we talked about the CES, you know, foundational, intermediate, advanced. That's something that everyone needs to take foundational. Everyone should take intermediate, advanced. Because it does, it is a requirement for any Department of Defense or Department of Army federal trainings that individuals would like to attend, you know, like the White House Leadership Development Program. There's the Enterprise Civilian Talent Development Program workbook, for lack of a better word right now, that highlights all of the kind of DoD component training. I don't want to say all, actually, a lot of the recommended DoD training that leaders can take. It used to be called Seat 'em, Eat 'em, so Enterprise Talent Development and Senior Enterprise Talent Development. I still call it Seat 'em, Eat 'em too, so I am sorry, ACMA, our Army Civilian Career Management Activity. Eventually I'll get the new nomenclature right, but that catalog really provides a lot of information on training, leadership training and development. You know, and one thing I do want to say that, all of that training is phenomenal. I think it really should be a part of your individual development plan, right? So everybody should create an IDP where we're taking information from our workforce development plan for our competency, and also our career field, our functional community, and also, you know, our DoD programs. Where do I want to go? Where do I see myself? And then what training and development do I need? So that leadership development training is extremely important. And I think it's also important to note that, you know, within 2 weeks of a training class, over 80% of what an individual has learned is out the window. It's gone.
If they even learned it.
Yeah. So, you know, what does that mean? It means as an organization, we have a responsibility to make sure that we're kind of enculturating that, right? What do we believe leaders are, right? What kind of climate and culture do we want? How are we nurturing that within our leaders, right? And then holding them accountable, right? To make sure that they're living out those values and living out that leadership philosophy that we have as DEVCOM. So, you know, internally within DEVCOM, a lot of the centers and labs, you know, have pull in external folks. APG as the senior leader cohort. There's a lot of stuff happening. Also, we have the DEVCOM Intentional Leadership Program.
Yes.
The next iteration starts in October. We already have over 60 folks signed up for that, so I'm pretty excited.
Wow.
About that. But that really is a basis of what does intentional leadership look like, right? And then creating some really good artifacts to take with it, with you when you leave that course, like setting up your ECQs appropriately, whether you aspire to be
ECQs,
an
ECQs, executive core qualifications.
Executive core qualifications, yes, sir. So whether you aspire to be a senior executive service member like yourself, sir, or not, I think it's always great to see what are some opportunities for growth for me. And writing your ECQs can help you do that, no matter where you're at in your career. And then, you know, a how to work with me guide. You know, what are kind of those logistical things? So, for example, you know, my team, I say, hey, listen, I'm still kind of old school. I like email. So if you have any documents you need to send me, still send it to me through email. That's just how I prefer it. But if you need me right away, or, you know, or if I need you right away, it'll be
phone.
A Teams chat, yeah. Right? Teams chat me. I'll be right there. Or, yeah, pick up the phone. But again, whatever works for everyone. But I think sometimes communicating that is extremely important. So that's really the importance of that intentional leadership program. You know, again, the not just the ECTDP catalog, the a lot of the DEVCOM programs across the enterprise, you know, again, ARL, CBC, a lot of them do some great work in helping develop their supervisors, their leaders across the enterprise. And, you know, we get to meet about once a month to really start transforming what does DEVCOM leadership look like? What are we all moving towards? Again, to enable that same language, right, when we're talking about what our leaders look like. But also, every career field has leadership and development opportunities. And ACMA, the Army Civilian Career Management Activity, underneath CHARA since, I think, 2020, I believe,
That's
is when
correct.
They were enacted. Recently written, now it's not completely published yet, but the Supervisor Certification Program, which highlights what are some recommended, again, training and development that's required to help develop our supervisors and our leaders as we move forward.
That's awesome. So, you know, just highlighting some things that I just recently found out. I was in a course with some of the folks from ACMA and CHARA. Mm-hmm. that what we used to call the CP16, now scientists, engineers, and analysts, is going back to being called CP16. I'm the career functional advisor there, so just kind of throwing a little plug out there that CP16 is not dead.
No, CP16 has never been dead, Dr. Moore, I will tell you. We've called it CP16 even when they changed it to CCF. So, you know, CCF, Scientist, Engineering, Analyst, career field has the CP36 and the CP16 underneath them. And, you know, I think just to pull that thread for a second, if you don't mind, is, you know, DEVCOM has, you know, over 10,000 of the 14,000 CP16s in the Army, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you were 100% correct.
And they, you know...
I think it was 10,500 last I checked.
It may be, but, you know, which I think is a testament to the incredible work that DEVCOM does, as well as the partnership with CHARA. And I think that's really important, too, to highlight. CHARA is doing a lot of work on making sure that the scientists and engineers have a global, what I would call a global kind of understanding of what are the knowledge, skills, and abilities needed to kind of execute or perform in this CP16. And then we look at the DEVCOM competencies and core competencies as kind of like stepping stones towards overarching, right, CP16 development. So they really do go hand in hand.
I really appreciate that. But just for the audience's sake, there are other career fields that work in our formation.
Absolutely.
And we love them, too.
We absolutely do.
It was a good little opportunity, since I'm the career functional advisor for CP16, to kind of throw that out there.
Yes.
But no, we have a lot of different career fields, and we love them all.
Absolutely.
Is there a central location, a website, that folks can look to for training opportunities for their CP?
For their career program? Absolutely. So ACMA has their website. There's also, if you go on to ACT now, and anyone feel free to reach out to me or your G1s or your training and development POCs or even your supervisors for this information as well. But ACT allows you, if you are a non-acquisition employee, ACT allows you to create your individual development plans in that website, as well as identify what is your career program. You know, what's your grade level, and that will kind of highlight what are some of the training and development opportunities as well. And then, you know, Camp Katmas for our acquisition folks also provides links towards your DAU training, your Defense Acquisition University training, et cetera.
I'm so glad you mentioned Katmas, because I was running in trying to get my continuous learning points in, which, you know, expire this year. We go back to our new 80 for the next 2 years.
Yes.
So I know a lot of people in our organizations are trying to get those continuous learning points in. So let's kind of talk about career development and progression a little bit. Let's just tease that apart a little bit. What are some of the different DoD programs available to our employees at DEVCOM, especially for career development? You talked about CES, Army, COOL, et cetera, but you talked about CES a bit when you first started.
Yeah. So, you know, if I'm hearing you correctly, so career development, so just, you know, developing our civilians within DEVCOM, I do think CES is one of those opportunities that is really important, because it sets the foundation for understanding about civilian development, but also creating opportunities for networking. I think one of the things that, you know, I hear when we talk about civilian development, right, is let me just back up a little bit and say, when it comes to development, I think that organizations and supervisors have a responsibility to help support their employee development. Employees also have a responsibility, you know, to help support their growth and development. And there is something to be said about being able to have open and honest conversations, you know, with your supervisor or your mentor, you know, as you move forward on kind of where you want to go and what you want to do, and truly being honest with yourself about what you want and why you want it, to help you identify the development that you need, the career development that you need, as you move forward. And so, you know, when we look at those development opportunities, you know, for CES Advanced, you know, and I'll put this out there too, CES Advanced, most of the time was held in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, right? At AMSC, Army Management Staff College. And there are some folks, especially civilians, who, you know, it's not part of our typical culture to kind of go away for job events and come back. I mean, you know, as a generalization. So getting the mobile training teams to come here, take advantage of those. You know, if you find that you want to go to advance or but you don't want to go to Leavenworth, reach out to your G1. You know, we'll all work together to get a mobile training team here to the best of our ability.
What team about virtual options? They
sometimes I was just going to say Teams now offers us the opportunity to do virtual options. I actually, believe it or not, I shouldn't say this online, but I'm going to, you know, just took CES Advanced. Years ago, they did allow some type of flexibility or credit towards CES Advanced for either Army programs that you've taken or, you know, internal organizational leadership development programs that you've taken to be credit for that, but they're no longer doing that. So you're really kind of mandated to take CES, at intermediate, advanced. And again, highly, highly recommend it for folks because if you ever do want to take a DOD program, and I'll just use White House Leadership Development Program as one of them, and a lot of the previously called CEDM EDM programs, you know, it's required that you have taken CES Advanced before you are accepted into that program.
And it's important because it teaches you the leadership skills that we're expected to have at each level.
Yes.
So that's crucial and critical to the Army. I mean, folks have taken a lot of time. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of experts, you know, putting these courses together and taking mm-hmm. the time to do this. And there are very stated objectives that they yes. want us to achieve just to make sure that as an Army, as the team of civilians that support mm-hmm. the Army, that we're all kind of aligned in terms of professionally growing together.
Yes.
You know, I think right now as we look at all the technological advancements and innovations that are occurring in the world, you know, we talk about the Army's data transformation strategy, mm-hmm. Digital engineering, generative AI. So we're in a place, in a space in time where transformation, innovation is going to occur so rapidly as it's occurring.
Yeah.
But the workforce of the future is going to be even more. They're going to be in a sea of constant change, mm-hmm. new technologies coming about. But we're not only going to get through that, we're going to enjoy it mm-hmm. and thrive in this space. Because I went to a course recently at Vanderbilt University. It's a pilot course for senior executives on generative AI and how you can leverage it in leadership. And I tell you, it was eye-opening for me. I knew about different generative AI systems, but actually seeing how we can leverage some of those capabilities in our daily leadership styles was very eye-opening for me. So we've talked a lot about, you know, common themes that we have in this organization for talent management, for how we manage based on competencies, how we give folks training opportunities, mm-hmm. et cetera, leadership. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the common themes that you see from our employees that have successful career development or progression? Maybe it's having a mentor, someone willing to invest in themselves, et cetera.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I'm, kind of pulling the thread on the comment I made earlier about, you know, supervisor and organization responsibilities and then employee responsibilities. Some of the things that I've heard, you know, when I've heard leaders talking, I've talked to other folks about their career progressions is, you know, calculated risk, right, is such an important part of, I think, someone's career progression, right? So being honest with yourself about where you want to go, what you want to do, why you want to do it, right? There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I want to advance to SES because of this, or I want to advance to this because of this, right? Just being honest with yourself, because I think it helps you, then identify what's the best path forward to kind of achieve that development. So when I look at, you know, people's career progression, I think it's crucial to not only have self-awareness, continual build self-awareness, emotional intelligence,
yes.
and which, you know, highly understated, I think, when we talk about leadership and we talk about development, and extremely
you know, it's
important.
Funny that you mentioned emotional intelligence, because most studies have shown if you want to look at various leaders and mm-hmm. how successful they will be, it's based on their emotional intelligence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And less and the higher and higher people go in their careers, the less and less it depends on IQ and more it depends on EQ. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely, Dr. Moore. So again, I think super important because it talks too about, you know, how do I get along with folks? How am I creating those opportunities for collaboration, right?
Yes.
Which, again, I think is really important to achieving my business objectives or my organizational objectives. And, you know, so when we look at an individual's opportunities for career development and we think, you know, what has made some people most successful in their development. I mean, I turn around and ask you the same question, right? Like, how did you get to where you are? But from my perspective, you know, I think being able to take calculated risks, having that self-awareness, being able to communicate those opportunities with folks or that desire with folks to grow and develop, and then put your hand up, you know, take those opportunities.
No, it's you definitely have to show up.
And absolutely, absolutely. And having a good mentor. Someone that you, whether it be an official mentor or an unofficial mentor, you know, there are quite a few DevCom centers and labs who have some mentor programs. AFC has their mentor mentee program. And DevCom headquarters is actually, I just got a new detail on yesterday, very excited about this, to create a DevCom mentor program. It is a time-based, curriculum-based mentor program. That really sets a foundation for what type of leadership qualities are we looking for in our distinguished leaders, right, for our distinguished leaders program. So we're helping to build those, right, as we move forward. So again, I think self-awareness, emotional intelligence, a good mentor. And I've had a great mentor for a very, very long time that I probably wouldn't be where I am today without their support, for sure. And then, you know, being willing to take those calculated risks, I think, is really important.
That's awesome. What about the coaching aspect? Because we always talk about mentoring, coaching, and sponsoring.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. So, you know, coaching, so the Army a few years ago actually started to invest a lot of resources into an Army coaching program. And there's a difference between kind of coaching, mentoring, and sponsoring. And I like to use this analogy typically. It's not going to be perfect, but this analogy I like to use. So, you know, I love the outdoors, even when it's raining outside. We were talking about raining earlier,
rain
but, you know, I love it. We definitely do. But, you know, a mentor, you can look at a mentor as someone who's, you know, they've gone on that path already, right? They know where the snakes are. They know where the divots are. They know where the restrooms are. You know, they know where the stuff is. And they come back to you and they say, hey, this is the trail you should take. This is what you'll experience on it. These are the recommendations, et cetera. And then for coaches, you know, coaches are just going to kind of walk with you on that path. And they're going to ask you some questions. Do you see that hole up there? What might that hole mean to you? Right? You know, how are you feeling right now? And these are just generic questions. Coaching really digs a little bit deeper into helping you discover, you know, what your greatest strengths are,
yes,
where you want to move towards. And it's really, you know, it's not a mentor. We're not, coaches aren't going to give you advice. I'm an ICF certified coach. I went through the George Mason University coaching program. I believe you've gone through coaching programs too as well. So, you know, I can't highlight the importance enough of having a coach. Very different than a mentor. Again, they're going to walk with you, ask you some questions, but it's your trip. Man, it's your trip. And mentors are going to kind of guide you, though. They're going to give you kind of an itinerary, and you can take it or leave that itinerary. And then sponsorships, you know, when I think of sponsorship, I think of being a military spouse for 20 years, you know, my husband active duty. We've lived overseas quite a few times, and even, you know, here in the States, where we'd be issued a sponsor. And it's really just someone who, you know, is like a peer, can show you around, kind of give you the lay of the land, you know, kind of become your buddy in this transitional period, which I think is really important too, you know, for organizations to have that, whether it be unofficial sponsors. So if you have someone new coming into your team, you know, assign them to somebody who might, they might be working with a whole lot, or, you know, that they might both be remote employees, right? But one remote employee has been here a little bit longer, kind of help them get the lay of the land. So, so I do think coaching is extremely important, not only for organizational well-being, but for employee well-being, because coaches can really help you through that, but definitely different than a mentor when we're talking about our career progression.
No, I love it. And I love your way of looking at sponsoring based upon kind of having sponsors in the military.
Yeah.
And I've probably shared with you on previous occasions my experiences with having military sponsors when I was in the military. Mm-hmm. And I think when we look at it kind of from a leadership perspective in terms of mentoring, coaching, and sponsoring, we're mm-hmm. also talking about people that will advocate for you
yeah.
as you're seeking new positions and new opportunities, because, you know, sponsoring in that space is also so critical. This is awesome. So in the remaining time that we have, we've talked mm-hmm. a little bit about CP16 already.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wanted to kind of leave us with an impactful kind of space for majority of our, you know, we've got 14,500-ish folks in this command.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of them are CP16, yeah. 10,500 or so of them. And so why is DEFCOM the best organization for folks in the CP16 space?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like you might be better prepared to answer that question than I would be. But what I will say is I think that from my perspective, DEFCOM has really made a commitment to understanding what are the science and technology needs of today and tomorrow, and then investing resources appropriately in helping folks develop in that space, and having a great partnership with CHARA, with the CCF, CP16 office, in helping folks develop, finding the resources to help them develop, creating common language for them to have discussions around where is the Army CP16 going, right?
Yes.
And how do we help them here at DEVCOM to do that? So that's probably my best answer.
Your answers are just as valid as mine.
Well, thank you.
I would say that I agree with you. You know, but being an organization, you talked about a formation of uniques,
mm-hmm.
where you have the ability to stay within the same command, but you can change geographic locations if you want to.
Yeah.
We have flexibilities in terms of where you work, how you work, when you work. We have opportunities for our employees to get trained, mm-hmm. to actually upskill, reskill in certain areas.
Yep.
And so I've seen a number of folks that had electrical engineering backgrounds. Then they started doing some computerish IT kinds mm-hmm. of work. Next thing you know, they're managing some of our data analytics or various things. I see biologists who are now doing data analytics.
Yeah.
I see chemists who are doing PIF, prototype integration facility work. So we're very strong in this space, and I think it's a great opportunity for many of our scientists, engineers, and analysts as well to stay within one command and grow up in this command, develop lifelong partnerships that are going to help us take the Army, you know, design the Army of 2040 and beyond.
Yeah.
This has been awesome.
Yeah, no, I just want to add to that, if that's okay with you. I could not agree with you more, and I think that, to me, is part of the beauty of our talent management strategy and our competencies and core competencies, right? So allowing folks to not only see what's out there, but intentionally grow and develop in those spaces within their CP16 career field, all within one organization. So I think that was fantastic, and thank you for that.
No, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Groover. This has been, you know, thank you so much for being our first guest, first and foremost.
I'm excited about that. Thank you very much.
For this brand new podcast. I really appreciate your insight, especially on our talent management strategy and what it means working at DEFCOM and why working at DEFCOM is so great. And you've heard this throughout. Thanks to everyone out there for listening to the episode. Be sure to check us out every first Monday of the month. Let us know what you think, what topics you'd like to hear about, and who you'd like to hear or see as a guest on this podcast. Thank you.